Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Red letters, Jesus. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who are needy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Their spirit sustenance comes from the Father alone. Their spiritual resources were poor and needy. But in reality, we're rich. We have this glorious treasure hidden within earthen vessels. But it just shows that we're dependent upon the Father for everything. He's the source. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I think Psalm says that blessed are those who sow in tears, who will come, they'll come again rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves with them, the harvest. Weeping for souls, weeping for your family, pouring out your heart like rivers of living water. And God catches up all those tears in his bottle and he pours out his spirit upon the earth and touches them. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your household will be saved. Believe in him. Don't step outside of him in unbelief, but believe in Christ. And then as you're walking in faith in Christ, your family members will see that substance. I got my camera set up in my living room. I got a whole bunch of relatives coming over. So this will be a good experiment to see how much good works I can manifest so that they can see the good works and glorify my Father who is in heaven just by being a light of the world. You know what a light of the world is? Because you're a light, that means that the world is in darkness. So you're the light of the world, so you have to enlighten it with realms of spiritual glory. And that all comes by faith. In enlightening the world, it's like you're dependent upon, you're poor in spirit, you're fully dependent on the Holy Spirit. Fully dependent on Christ, fully dependent on the Father. Wow, I've been going through a whirlwind of darkness this last week. So I'm just stepping out in faith right now to be the light of the world. I can't hide underneath the table. I'm not gonna let my light, be snuffed out by a bunch of pillows and blankets. I'm gonna stand up here and just speak of the testimony of Jesus releasing revelation and being a light in the world to whoever comes around. Holy Spirit. Look at this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Yeah, you can. there's layers to understanding the scriptures. There's different layers and circumstances in life how we can let it, be rhema to us when God speaks it to us. Like you can mourn for yourself is a lower level, just having a pity party and I don't know. Sometimes when you're a brand new believer, like that's fine. You just call out to God, help. And then later on when you grow up a little bit, it's like you cry out to God for the whole body because you're less selfish. You're not so self-centered anymore. You cry out, you see your brothers and sisters around you, and you're like, God, help. Because it's no longer, my Father in heaven. It's like our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We have the mind of Christ, not just me. It's like you become, your vision expands a little bit by spending time in the Holy Ghost. You realize you start getting his vision and provision for his vision to accomplish the mission. So it says right here, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The comforter is going to come to you and fill you with hope, peace, righteousness. Like he'll shine the light in the dark places of your heart and expose them for what they are. And you can just repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means to reposition yourself back in Christ. because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So you repent. You're just getting repositioned back in Christ. That's the highest place, is in Christ. You know, there's no other safe place in the entire world but in Christ. Or even in the entire, all the realms. You know, there's only one safe place, that's in Christ Himself. Blessed are the gentle. I got a little thing here. It says humble or meek. Blessed are the humble, meek, gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Shabbat. Humble is being, true humility is full dependence upon God. Because if you look at it in the Old Testament, it looks like pride because you're walking in power. And it's not your power, it's the power of God coming through you as a co-laborer with Christ. You know, Moses, he wrote about himself, and it wasn't prideful to write that. And Moses was the most humble man on the earth. You know, because he knew, he had all these angry Jews, like, who want to kill him. Israelites. And he was the most humble man on earth, because he would have died. Like, there's like, what, a million of them? I don't know how many. There was just a lot of angry people. That they came out of slavery and they still had that slave mentality. And it was at the Sons of Korah, I believe there's 250 of them. They were accusing Moses and saying that, you know, all this stuff against Moses in the Old Testament. And the Lord opened up the earth and they all fell in and, you know, the earth swallowed them up. The dust. The dust fell and swallowed them up. It wasn't glory dust. It was judgment. But what happened to Moses is he fell on his face. And it looked like pride to all those, a carnal mind. But before God, he was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. He was totally dependent on the fire by night and the glory cloud by day. Fully dependent on the angel of the Lord that encamps around about him. Fully dependent upon the voice of God to lead the people of God out of captivity and into freedom, to a land of milk and honey. So, true freedom, it is walking in the land of milk and honey, heavenly Jerusalem. But true humility is what Moses had, was walking in full dependence upon God, that every word is life and death. Like, if he didn't hear from God, he would have got killed by the army behind him. But God said, stretch out your stick. That became the rod of God. And a wind came. And it pushed the waters back. And it made a way for Moses where there was no way. That's because he was dependent on God. God made the way. God is the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way into the land of milk and honey. New Jerusalem, heaven above. The city of innumerable saints, which part we are of. Hallelujah. We've been translated into the kingdom of light to live from that area, to be a light of the world. That's the true light that comes through you. It's your heart coming, it's Jesus coming through your heart. Anyways, let's jump back into this. Pride is dependence on yourself. So just get out of that and get humble. Depend upon God Himself. And if you don't know who God is, get to know God and He'll exalt you. And it feels really good to have the presence of God brooding through your very being. Hallelujah. Shabbat. Blessed are the gentle, humble, meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. You're always going to be hungering for something. But true satisfaction comes from the highest realm of just God Himself. He's our righteousness. We're hungering and thirsting for more of God. Some people are satisfied with just a touch. I'm not satisfied with just being touched. I want the continual walking with God in the cool of the day, in the storms, in the fiery battles, walking on the water with Him. Or even if I'm drowning, I stick out my hand and He still pulls me up. Through thick, through thin, through warfare, through peace. It's just hungering for more righteousness. His righteousness, His standard of righteousness. Not man's righteousness, like trying to look good before others. That's filthy rags. You know, the true righteousness is being just right, standing right before the throne of God and not moving. And you live from that, live from there. Sometimes God might catch you up to heaven to show you true righteousness, which is you staring at the face of God in Christ. Some people believe that they can't see God until they die. Some people have seen God because they've died in Christ and risen with Him and are seated in Him at the right hand of the Father. You know that your His crucifixion was your crucifixion too, and that you're risen with Him now. And you're seated in Christ in heavenly places far above all the death of the world. Just having that reality settle in, having that reality just sink right into your spirit, out through your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions, and through your body being a reality. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is God Himself. For they shall be satisfied with God Himself. They can taste God, and they can see that God is good. And everywhere they go, they can see the goodness of God because they're not seeing through the flesh eyes anymore. They're seeing through the eyes of their heart, a pure heart. They're seeing through God's eyes because you have the mind of Christ. You have His vision. You're in the body of Christ. Christ is spirit. Hallelujah. Shabbatabba. We have one head, and that's Jesus Christ Himself, right? We're one body, we have one mind, and we're in one accord with the will of the Father. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's the law of sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Sow mercy, you'll reap mercy. That could just be like in your prayer closet when you're just alone with God and you're sowing mercy for all those people who stab you in the back and curse your name and slander you. Sow mercy. And you will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. God, let the purity of heart come. Let the coals of your fire just burn away all the darkness inside our hearts, so that all that we see is you. Take away all the idols in our heart, all lesser lovers. Let them all just be destroyed by the passionate fire of your love burning through our hearts. As you go over the scriptures with us and we walk with you, God, on this narrow road, just let our hearts burn. And as you make as though you're going to go further, we cling to your pant legs. And we're just like chained to you. Wherever you go, we're going. If you're going to disappear, we'll disappear too. If you're going to go to heaven, we're going to heaven too. Hallelujah. Shab, I need to have a sip of tea. Hold on. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Return to your first love if you want a pure heart. God, fill my heart with every part of your being. Fill my heart with your love. God, fill our heart with your love, God. Fill our hearts with your love. Soak our hearts with the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Wherever there's manifest peace, I mean, I'm talking about the principality of peace, where Jesus Himself comes brooding through the air and it hits your spirit, that's a sure sign that a son of God is manifesting the Son of God. He is our peace. You know, He's our armor. Just take up the shield of faith, or the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, so that you take up the full armor of God so that you can walk, not just stand. Stand your holy ground when you're in battle, but also walk in the principality shoes of peace. Walk in Jesus' shoes. They're peacemakers. They release peace. Shabbat. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't matter what people think. Well, doesn't matter what a carnal mind thinks. When you have the mind of Christ, those thoughts are what you focus on. If you give your attention to a carnal mind, and you just might be influenced by carnality, you don't want to do that. You want to be influenced by righteousness in the mind of Christ. The carnal mind will make you backslide. The spiritual mind of Christ will you'll go forward, going from glory to glory, breaking through every wall, jumping through every obstacle, just walking right through it. Because the mind of Christ, like Jesus in the Old Testament, the Bible says that he set his face like a flint. His face was like so hardened. It just like cracked through every wall of religion. It just cracked, cut through every single thing, that any blockade that would try to come before him, it would just get crushed before his face, because he had one purpose, one mind. And his purpose was to come here, manifest the Father, and show what God is really like. And that's what we're here to do too. We're here to manifest the natures of the Father. Because the Bible says that when Jesus got baptized, the Father said to him, or Jesus said, glorify your name, or something like that. And then the Father said, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Because Jesus glorified the names of God that are written, you know, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah, you know, Tzid Kanu. I can't even pronounce all those Hebrew names, but he manifested those natures. And he glorified God by righteousness. Righteousness is spiritual. It's not no outward act of the flesh. It's an inward act coming outward through your body and soul and spirit, yielded to the Holy Spirit. And he said, Jesus stood there after he said that, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. That glorified it again is when Jesus said to the people, the Father sent this not for my sake but for yours. The body of Christ. For those who stand here, or something like that. I can't remember. I didn't read the exact scriptural quote. But he said, he spoke that for our sake, because he's going to glorify his name again through the body of Christ, manifesting his natures, manifesting his names, because the body of Christ is going to show the world, being a light of the world, what God is like. And and they'll do it by manifesting the natures of God, and they'll know us by our fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the tree of life, or the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, which is religion. The fruit of the tree of life is spiritual Christ nature manifesting through you, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the fruit of a religious person trying to do everything in the flesh, which is impossible to do the true gospel, because it's all spiritual. It's 100% spiritual. What happened to my little pads here? It's so pretty. There we go. I like these soothing things. I just grabbed something off YouTube and just let it play. I was looking for some good soaking music and I found this, and I felt a little bit of peace on it, so I thought I'd let it play. I already read this whole thing. I went through the Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. I write it out loud. I'm like, man, this is wonderful. I got to make another video. I didn't even make a video. I just write it out loud. But I wanted to make a video and just talk about these things because they're wonderful treasures hidden within the words here. Shabba. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you falsely and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Man, you're blessed. If people are lying about you because of Jesus and saying all sorts of evil things about you because of Jesus, rejoice and be glad. For your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So do you notice that your reward in heaven is great? So if you want to get some more rewards, like just keep doing righteous works and go into heaven and receive your reward. Your reward in heaven is you can access God today. You can access. You don't have to wait until you die if you've already died in Christ and risen with Him. Your rewards are in Christ in heavenly places. Your rewards are in heaven. Great is your reward. Your reward in heaven is great. You get to see Him and go from glory to glory. And that image, in the same way He was ridiculed and lied to, like people lied about Jesus and they persecuted Him and killed Him, all these things, they're going to do the same things to you because of Him. So if people aren't persecuting you and lying about you and attacking you, you got a lot of growing to do. Get out of religion and get into true spiritual Christ living. Not just on Sunday, but like try Monday too. You know, 2 days a week. And then maybe one day you'll get to 3 days a week. You know, Sunday services, prayer meeting Tuesdays, and Bible study Fridays. Hallelujah. At least to get to 3 days a week to get yourself a 30-fold return. Or if you want 60-fold, you might want to have like every day, but keep one day for yourself. Like maybe keep Mondays to yourself or something like that so you can go do some carnal things. But if you want 100-fold, it's got to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And when you sleep, having dreams, revelation, waking up and writing it down. I'm not quite there yet. I'm about like somewhere in there. God knows where I am. My goal is 100% day in, day out. But I'm still going through all these things, getting delivered from demons. Hallelujah. I got flaws. God's still ironing me out. But that's okay. I'm still growing from glory to glory in grace. I need grace. Thank you, Lord, that I march boldly to the throne room of grace. Yeah, no more distractions from the world and things that pull me away from keeping my mind 100% on you. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, this is great. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You know what salt does? Cleanses the wounds, gives your food a better taste. You know, salt of the earth is just like you're just refining the earth. Salt in yourself. You're being aggressive, like you heal wounds. It you know, you might get a lot of confrontation with a lot of people who are stuck in religion and they'll lash out at you. Well, it's actually not you that they're lashing out at you, it's the demons in them lashing out at Christ in you that you're manifesting your glory, that is, He's manifesting that light through, and the darkness is being exposed. Okay, listen, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free, and so don't be offended by the demons, the offensive demons inside of Christians who get offended at your shining of freedom. Don't get offended. Just realize, stand your holy ground and release Christ upon everyone. Because you're the light of the world, and a light that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So you just don't back down. You just stand your holy ground and just shine Christ right into their hearts. And they will gnash on you and lie to your face and accuse you, because those are the things that the devils do, and they don't know that they're in darkness. The devils are using them to curse you. But the Bible says, a curse causeless shall not stand, or shall not land, in Proverbs, I believe. So just don't worry about all the curses. Just put everything into the blood of Jesus and keep walking with God through the cool of the day and the heat of battle. Always having your mind and affections set upon Him. So at all the arrows, you just pull them out and you ask God, say, God, pour in the wine for cleansing and the oil for healing. And make that those wounds will turn into like golden glory portals where God can shine through, and it becomes the armor of God because you've been healed, and it becomes, it's like God. You've given that area over to God if you've been deeply wounded by that. Yeah, remember that you've been crucified with Christ, and it's not you who lives, but it's Christ living through you. So Christ can come through those wounds and heal those people, and as Christ comes through your wounds that and heals other people, the darkness will try to jump back at you, but it shouldn't affect you because you've already been healed in that area. And you just have spiritual understanding now that these people are getting healed as well. And so you don't hold anything against them. You never hold bitterness against anybody. You're allowed to hate the demon, but you're not allowed to hate people. Because we're all made in the image of God, and that's being restored. Because God came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Which was lost wasn't just the people. It was the image of God in the people. Because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But now He's come to restore us back into the glory. Where you can walk in the true image of God. Which is in the glory. You know. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of glory. You know. The Father of glory. Anyways. Let's keep reading here. I had a powerful experience with this next one. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Listen, okay, there's two contrasts here. I'm going to read you a couple scriptures. If you go to chapter 6 in Matthew as well, it says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. If you go back here, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The contrast is simple. One is to be noticed by men. The other one is knowing that you've been noticed by God and you're letting God shine His light through you. You don't care about the opinions of men. You already have God's approval. God's approval is in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have God's approval. Because again, at the waters of baptism, the Father said to the Son, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. If you're in the Son, God is well pleased. There's no other requirement. It's not what you can do for God, it's what God can do through you. So it's really easy to stop doing dead works. And just, if you notice, there's no spiritual fruit manifesting, like the fruits of Galatians chapter 5, then you should probably just stop. Just take a week to stop and just like get a relationship with God. Just go lay on your bed and just meditate on God. Meditate on God the Spirit. Meditate on God your Father. Meditate on God the living God, not the God that you have to go every Sunday to meet in a building, at a church building. Some of those things are like just circuses. You have to jump through all these hoops and there's no presence at all. Some of those meetings are led by Holy Spirit filled, sons of God, and you will experience God. Well, that's fine, that's cool. But it's God the Spirit. Meditate on God. As you meditate on God, as you set your affections on things above, where God's seated at the, where you're seated too, set your affections there, and that will become your reality. And you can project reality out through your heart, through your mouth, and through your every part of your being into the reality around you, and it just becomes dominant. You dominate the natural realm with the inner heart realm. Just blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the measure that you see God, He can project out through your heart, through your mouth, through your life, and then others can see God around you. That's why it's important to be the light of the world and project God, not project religion. Don't project like quoting scriptures at people to condemn them. How about you quote a scripture with so much spirit sauce on them that it actually sets them free? Like, get a life. Get the way, the truth, and the life, man. So let's read that again. I'll tell you about my experience. I said it in another video, but people subscribe and they're probably new, so I'm gonna tell you what happened, what God showed me about this. I'll read it one more time and I'll tell you what God showed me. It was amazing. There was different layers of revelation to it, but you are the light of the world. If you're the light of the world, that tells me that the world's in darkness and it needs light. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden higher up. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. You know what a good work is? It's a work of righteousness. It's spiritual works. A bad work is a work of the flesh, trying to do spiritual things with the natural apart from the Spirit. It's bewitchment. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. I went to this prophetic meeting. I don't know. I have no idea who this guy is. Mumby or something like that. And there were three sessions. The first session was extremely boring. I was really bored and I didn't feel any anointing. And I thought I made a mistake for going. The second session is when it really exploded. Like, man, he was talking and this realm came into the room. It was like, it's like all the voices kind of went faded. It was like, kind of went like, almost like a glory cloud. I don't know if I was seeing the glory cloud or not. But everything kind of went kind of foggy. And the presence came in. And there was a man standing over to my left with an utter face. A glowing man with a presence of peace manifesting from him. Holy Spirit, Shabbat. 333. Well, the time is like 333. That's Jeremiah 33 verse 3. If you don't know what that means, just go call upon God. He's going to show you some stuff too. Hallelujah. Good timing, Lord. And I saw this man beside me. And the presence felt so good. Hallelujah. I could have just stayed there forever and be absolutely satisfied. There's nothing else that this world had to offer than to just stand in the presence of this man who was beside me without a face. And I could still hear the Mumby guy talking, but I didn't know what he was. He just kind of went off into the distance. I kind of ignored him because I was a little bit distracted by the man without a face. And I remember I tuned back into the guy, the Mumby guy, whatever his name, I don't remember his name. And then I would kind of go back and forth, and because this guy here without a face and the glowing clothes is just manifesting this peace on me, man. I gotta see him. I gotta see who he is. Is this an angel? Is this Jesus? Is this the Father? Is this the Holy Spirit? I don't know, but there sure is a lot of peace coming off of him, and it's just washing through me. So a desire in my heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, they'll see God. You can't get a pure heart unless it's thrown into the fire of God. So I'm like, I gotta see who this is. I gotta see who this guy is. I'm looking over. I look over the natural realm, and I see all the people. And then I look through my heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm looking through my heart through a desire to see this man without a face. I want to see his face. So I look over. I'm looking like just, I don't know if my eyes were closed or open. It doesn't matter. He's still there. And I see him. And I'm just staring at him. It's this guy in his white glowing clothes. And all of a sudden I took his hand. And we're walking down this pathway. And the more we walk, the more the presence gets stronger and stronger, the more steps we take. And I'm just becoming overwhelmed by the presence of this man without a face. I can't see his face. And then we walk up to this hill, this big hill with all these tiny little houses on it. And I'm new by this time. I'm like, this is God. There's nobody, no angel can manifest this much sauce. Maybe, but I know in my heart that this is God. Because the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. And this is the principality of peace. His peace is just flooding through the atmosphere, flooding through my heart. And I said, God, what are these little houses here? And he said to me, you are the light of the world. Because look at these houses had this light shining through them and this peace shining through them. It was on this hill of houses. And it was the same peace, the same substance as his clothes. These garments, whatever this man without a face was wearing, it was the same substance. These houses looked exactly the same. I don't know. And he said to me, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And, whoa! Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God was saying to me that you are the light of the world, body of Christ. New Jerusalem, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. He was saying two different things to me. He's like, you know, there's so much glory manifesting out through that house that it's not going to be hidden. Darkness will see it, darkness will fight it, but it's going to heal all those who it hits, who receive that light. Christ in you, the hope of glory. No longer you living, but Christ living through you. It's the Spirit of Christ that was coming through those houses. And it's all dovetailed into, these are the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, God, like the waters came from deep within and from the heavens above. God's going to pour out His Spirit sovereignly from above, sovereignly. And He's going to pour it out from the body of Christ within. Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven around you, He's going to pour out His Spirit. And the kingdom of God within you will flood the earth realm with glory. As the waters, the living waters of God, of the living waters of heaven, cover the seas of humanity, as the waters cover the seas, God's going to pour out His Spirit. And He's going to heal everyone. People will live to be, you know, if you die at 100 years old, you'll be considered accursed. Hallelujah. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Why? Because it's manifesting light, exposing all the darkness around it. And then whoever the darkness was holding captive, those people will have to make a decision. Do I choose to remain in darkness, or do I choose this light that is manifesting, which I know is God? Do I blaspheme the Holy Spirit like the Pharisees, or do I receive Holy Spirit like the sons of God, become a peacemaker myself. And it was, that's one level. The other level was a rebuke. It's like, you're looking at us, like the body of Christ, like you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Why are you hidden? Come into the light, manifest the light. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to shine the light of Jesus everywhere you go. Not being ashamed. He wasn't ashamed when he hung on a cross for us. So we don't have to, he took away all the shame. There's no shame in the glory. So you can walk in the glory apart from shame. Because shame is under your feet. Shame came through the fall. He died and rose us above that level. So that we can walk and shine the light of Christ into the world to wash away all the shame. Wash away all the death. Wash away all of the diseases. Everything that came in before the fall. He's going to make it on earth as it is in heaven. There's no shame. There's no disease. There's no death in heaven. He's restored us. We can eat of the tree of life, which is Jesus Christ himself, and live forever. Because he is our eternal life. It's not existing forever, although we will, because demons are full of death and they exist forever. In torment. We exist forever in life, because he is our life and we exist in him. In him we move, we live, and we have our being. Hallelujah. So yeah, that was a good experience I had with that. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know where you want to get your calling from? It's in the kingdom of heaven. I used to freak out. All of the stuff I just repeat. I repeat all of my stuff because I only kind of speak what I've learned from the Spirit. And because that has true life on it. And I don't know, I'm still learning, but I'm a slow learner, so I have to repeat a lot of my stuff. You know, wisdom has mixed her wine. She puts the old with the new, right? So new stuff comes as I speak of the old. But, like, you want to be known in the kingdom of heaven. That's where your identity comes from. Your identity does not come from the earth. Because right now the earth is in a fallen state. You're the light of the world. And the only way you can be a true light of the world is if you know your identity in heaven. You know, you have an identity in the earth, but that's passed away. You're a walking zombie. For you're just dead to sin. Only life you have is Christ in you. The mind of Christ. Brains. You just want to feast on the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Hey, man. So, yeah, your identity isn't in what you do. It's in who. Your identity is not in what you do, but it's in who. It's already what he's done for us. And we yield to the finished works and let that salvation work outward through us, through fear and trembling. We work out our salvation because it's the kingdom of God within us. And it activates the kingdom of open heaven around us. When we yield to it, fully surrendered. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So your righteousness sucks. Your righteousness apart from Christ is worthless. Like a filthy rag smeared with a dog dung, you know? That's your righteousness compared to like Jesus' righteousness, who was 1,000% surrendered to the Father. 100%. Jesus' righteousness is worth more than all the combined righteousnesses of all the people ever trying to be good in the earth. All the good people. Because it's not about being good. Wasn't it Jesus that said, no one is good but my one, that's my Father in heaven? You know, he's the only good one here, man. Holy Spirit. So if you want to be good, you better give your life to him and let him put you to death. And that living resurrection power will empower you to walk into the earth. How are you doing? Good. All right. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. Whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. Do you know if you hate your brother, you're a murderer? Yeah, they don't teach you that in Sunday school. Jesus taught that. If you hate your brother, you're a murderer. You don't even have the mind of Christ. He died for them. Died for all of us. Okay, I'm gonna stop it right there. I'll probably make another video later on. There's going to be a lot of videos coming out. I was just setting up my house and going through a trial and a tribulation. I was tribulating this week. I went through the entire Bible 1.5 times this week. It was boring. I don't know what happened, man. I played it when I was sleeping, and I listened to it a little bit when I was awake. And I tried this Bible fast. I went through the entire New King James Version audio Bible, and then I did half of the... I'm in the prophets, like I'm near, almost at Matthew right now. I'm in Joel in the King James Version. I just got real frustrated last night. I told God, I don't even want to listen to the Bible anymore. I'm so bored with it, God. I just want the real relationship where you bring life to the scriptures. Oh my gosh, because you can memorize the entire Bible and not even know the author. That's why maybe I need to just take an hour just to lay down and meditate on the presence of God. Nothing wrong with listening to the Bible if you're hungry to get to know the author through it. But if it's just religious hoops, just that, yeah. Take an hour off and get to know the author. God bless your face with grace. You'll have his happiness. Hallelujah. Something like that. Amen.